Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
KFC Radio episode 177. This episode is brought to you by Audible, where you can download thousands of audiobooks. If you're a podcast listener, you'll listen to books on tape as well. It's just the lazy man's way to do it. You don't have to sit there and turn pages like it's the 1800s. You don't have to lug around a hardcover book on the subway with you. You got your iPhone, you got your tablet, you got your this device, that device. You can listen to whatever book you want. Right now, I'm listening to Gary Vee's new book. It's about social media stuff, self-awareness. He's been on the show before. He's like a millionaire mogul who's basically telling you how to be rich in the future. So there's a good recommendation for you. They got tons of choices. And like I said, it's real easy to just browse through, download a book, and listen to it. It's a lazy man's reading. Start a 30-day free trial and download your first audiobook for free at audible.com/KFC. That's audible.com/KFC for a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook. 177, we're creeping up on 200, which I know we just did Couchella, but I figure by the time we hit another 20-something episodes, we'll probably have to run it back and do another live event. So let's start coming up with another ridiculous idea, whether it's on a couch or maybe some rocking chairs. Feidelberg's sitting on a rocking chair today.
Dude, this is the first time I've sat in a rocking chair in so long, I forgot how fucking awesome these are.
Mm-hmm. Rocking chairs have gone by the wayside. I feel like rocking chairs used to be the shit back in the day. You don't get much rock these days. You need a good rock. I got a little bit of a rock on here.
Dan, this is like a grandfather one. This is like all wooden shit too. This is a perfect grandfather.
You need like a pipe as well as you rock there. You need like a corn cob pipe.
So we have to come up with ideas?
Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe we could just jam pack the whole office with people and do a live show from there. Maybe we'll go back to Caroline's. Maybe we'll just do it, I don't know, in the middle of Times Square. There's a million ideas that we could rock out with. But we've got 23 episodes to come up with it. So that's a decent amount of time. But start cooking. I mean, last time our idea was a smash hit. So it was a disaster for everyone logistically. And anyone not us who had to do it and pull it off hated us. But everyone else seemed to love it. So
yeah, fuck them. We're the talent. We get to tell Brendan what to do.
Exactly.
You want a couch? You figure out how to make that fucking couch work.
Dan, I got to be honest, I'm getting a little sentimental myself as I look in your apartment. I see these boxes. I see that bare desk chair over there. It's
sucks, man. It sucks.
You got moving, what, like 10 days left?
10 days. Yeah, 10 days.
10 days, Dan.
Yeah, so the party on August 4th, I'm actually driving the U-Haul out to New York. August 1st, I'm going to fly back for the party, but it's because my lease is up. So, it's getting sad.
Aside from the cruise, which is, you know, what you're doing for the site and the fans and all that shit, what is on your list personally now? Like Cubs, favorite restaurants, must-do things?
I've gone to the Cubs like 8 days in a row.
You've gone to like 30 games already.
I woke up this morning, my stomach hurts so bad. And I was like, oh no, those tainted hot dogs. And I was like, wait, it was like a Wednesday and I ate, you know, hot dogs and drank beers all day, like for the 10th day in a row. Maybe that's why my stomach hurts. I'm also doing this thing where I'm going to go out to Arlington racetrack one last time. For some pony betting. I'm also doing this thing where I keep telling myself it's the last time I'm going to eat this, but I've been doing that for like a month and a half.
Yeah.
So I've had like the last time at my favorite wing place like 6 times.
Now, it's not the same situation, but when Caitlin was like fully pregnant and like about to pop, we kept doing that. Like, hey, once we have a kid, we're not going to be able to go here or go there or go do this and that. And we just kept on going. You have about 10 lasts before you finally stop eating something.
Right. So I've just been eating like shit. So it's a good time, you know. Probably go out a couple times this weekend with some friends. And it's sad. It's very, very sad.
There's not even like no spin. There's no like, but it's exciting. No, I'm not happy about this. Well, I don't blame you at all.
Yeah, you know what it is. It's like, when we're guys, we got pea brains. I don't really think about this stuff until it's face. Like, I won't really think about it until I'm on the highway with the U-Haul. I'm like, mm-hmm. Shit.
I still don't even think about it at all because I'm a month behind you. Like, right. Hasn't even crossed my mind yet.
Right. So, yeah, you'll get to it. And then it gets in front of your face. And you're like, fuck. More than anything, it's just the next, like, month is going to suck because moving is the worst. And then you're never done moving. And when you move, and then there's just – it's never set until you're ready to move again. Mm-hmm. So that part is going to be the worst. Maybe I'll be like okay in maybe September. August is actually a good time to do it just because it doesn't feel like there's a ton of stuff going on. And
August is good in general because you've like you've already had your fill of summer. You're kind of like over a lot of the same routine. It's just like, whatever. Unless you're
right, it would suck to put in September.
Feidelberg's hitting his stride, hitting yachts on the weekend in August. So,
dude, I was just gonna say, like, I Lewis and I were talking about that last night because he was asking me about Stranger Things, and I was like, dude, I can't wait for New York. I can't wait for a winter when it's just like I can just stay in for 9 hours. Like, not even 9 hours isn't that long to stay in, but like just be in for 9 hours on the weekend and just like run through Netflix and run through all the shows I want to watch. Cause like I'm so behind on everything. Cause I do this, do Saturdays for the Boys every.
Oh my God. Oh, John's so behind on everything. He starts drinking on Friday at noon. It doesn't stop till Monday.
You're doing exactly what commenters always do to us. Like, oh, you have the easiest job. It's so much fun. It is. It absolutely is. But everything becomes a job. And, like, I was stupid enough to make getting up at 10 a.m. Saturday and drinking and blogging a job.
John, I normally would agree. But, dude, you fucking start drinking on Friday at, like, noon and don't stop till Monday. I do not have sympathy for you on
that. Bro, people would say the same thing about the Grit Tour.
I physically couldn't even do that. I physically couldn't even do what you do. Like, it hasn't been, I'm not even talking about
the Grit Tour. People said about the Dixie Tour. People said about the Blackout Tour. Like, oh, you just get up and have fun. Yeah, and it's fucking tiring.
You'd be doing that otherwise, though. You would be doing that the same.
I wouldn't be doing it the exact same. I'd go to the beach on a Saturday.
Yeah, now. You wouldn't be getting fucking yachts for free, John.
So you're fucking weak. So you're telling me that Saturday for the Boys has become a burden for you because you're tired of...
It's not a burden. It's just like a Saturday off sometimes.
I can actually see that, though. I mean, the fact that people are demanding that he's on the internet is...
Dude, I get yelled at at 9 a.m. for not being up on a Saturday and drinking yet. I get called a pussy and yelled at.
Well, that was your own fault.
That's what I said. That's how this
also,
started.
All right, I have a real question for you, John. The last few Saturdays, you've gotten, like, to the point, like, 11 o'clock at night where you start tweeting stuff that is, I don't care, but it's like, are you regretting some of these tweets when you wake up?
Well, I wanted to talk about this. Feidelberg's KFC radio life, it came to life with his tweets last Saturday. Because all of a sudden, him and his buddies had butt plugs in their mouth. And they had, like, masks on and taking shots with ball gags in. And they were – John and his buddies were like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm putting this on Snapchat. No big deal. The rest of the world – anybody who listens to KFC Radio was kind of like, well, yeah, that's how Feidelberg rolls. But the rest of the world was shocked and appalled, John. They didn't know what was going on.
Dude, that – honest to God, here's the problem. That was the one where, like, I don't regret. That was funny.
There are
plenty of other ones I do. Those ones I thought were funny.
Because I shut it down. I shut it down. If I've been drinking, I stop tweeting. Because I know that – and it's not even because I think I'm going to tweet something stupid. It's more that once you tweet one thing, then you have to sit there and, you know, like retweet. Respond, and you're just locked back in. So if you just go dead, you don't have to even, like, look at Twitter. And especially after, like, 10 o'clock, that's when I'm like – that's a no-tweet zone unless there's a game on.
Yeah, that's one – those ones are probably the ones that people are most, like, weirded out about. Or not weirded out, but, like, most, like, what the fuck? Those are the ones I thought were funny. Like, I hate the other word tweets I send that are just, like, words and stuff. Those ones I'm like, ow, dude, knock it off.
The butt plug pick, though, that's all good.
That's fine. I thought it was funny.
I loved it. I mean, again, people were like, I can't believe how many people are shocked by this. Like, this is Feidelberg to a T if you've ever listened to this show. It's like, yeah, of course he runs around with his buddies buying sex toys and fooling around with them at the bar. That's what he does.
That was, right, because the bar O'Brien's, the bar I always go to, is just like 2 years ago maybe, a sex shop opened up directly across the street from it, which is genius because, like, people are out in Newport out on vacation having a little dinner, get a couple glasses of wine, and then walk out and, like, hey, honey, why don't we pop in here for a second? It's brilliant. It's a brilliant location for it. But it's, like, we were sitting there, and it wasn't just guys. It was 50-50 guys and girls, so it was less – I tend to keep the girls off it more.
Yeah, yeah.
We were like, we were sitting there. We're like, yo, how much do you think? Like, what's the weirdest thing you could go buy in there for $20? So then everyone got $20 to go get a turn to go in there and buy like whatever they could.
What was the weirdest thing?
It was that package. It was actually, I don't know if it was the weirdest shit. It was like the best deal. It was a hell of a package they got. It was the ball gag thing. It was blindfolds and it was a butt plug for $20. That was some bargain shopping at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night at the sex toy shop.
Fights is doing the Price is Right with butt plugs and ball gags. It's unbelievable, man. It really is.
And then once you have it at the table, it's like, what, are we not going to use this? And you find out fun ways to use it. The shots were a huge hit at the bar. People were, like, coming by just dumping shots into people's mouths. You couldn't fucking close it. It was the worst.
Yeah, I mean, that's just tequila setting your throat on fire because you can't really swallow it, right?
And you can't do it. And you had to wear the blindfold so you couldn't tell what kind of shot was coming.
Oh, man.
Just got dumped down your throat. It was fucking bad.
That is torture right there. Well,
but it was hilarious.
Yeah,
was
like, again.
That was a lot of fun, that dinner. So, I have no regrets about those tweets.
John, do you want to know? I'll tell you exactly what I was doing while you were doing that. It was Saturday night. I was sitting on the couch. There was a 2020 special on that my wife was watching. Okay? Okay? So that's where I'm at. So no tears for Feitelberg. We'll get into the voicemails in a minute, but obviously the big news of the week, of the century, which I don't think has really been discussed because Dave was doing a Dave thing on the rundown, and then it was kind of a day pass, but Erica Nardini, CEO of Barstool Sports, threw a curveball at everybody a little bit, hired a chick. Am I right? Like, I don't feel like there's actually been... I guess Erica was on Dave's show today, but I don't think anybody listens to that. So has there really been a discussion of...
No. It was a Dave... It was like when Dave... When we hired the Dev Nest, and they redid the whole site, and it launched when Dave was in, like, Barbados.
Right.
That was probably not a good idea.
How many times have you had to be on a rundown after, like, a major occurrence? Dave is never around when he needs to be.
We could have planned.
This time he was, and you were the one who missed it because you didn't have internet. So it was me, Dan, and Dave, and, like, I thought we were going to spend 20 minutes on it.
Right.
I think we spent 5 seconds.
No.
Dave talked about it for 2 seconds and then, like, didn't even ask questions, didn't discuss it, and we just moved on. It was the weirdest thing. It was like... That whole rundown stunk so bad.
Yeah, it stunk.
It was a 15-minute rundown of just Dave, like, talking nonsense. It was a bad rundown.
I mean, that's, yeah.
That's just Dave.
That's every rundown. my question, the elephant in the room now, okay? Because, obviously, I mean, we've worked with Kevin and I. I mean, we've all met Erica. We've worked with her basically for a month now, so it isn't, like, new for us. She... is starting to talk a little shit on Twitter.
Did I see her make a fat joke at you yesterday?
Yeah. So listen, I take probably the most, like, the brunt of these jokes. The whole internet makes fun of me in terms of, like, my weight, my looks, whatever. I'm used to it. Goes right off my back. But at what point can I respond? Now, because that's the problem. This is like, I feel like I'm back in, like, fucking middle school. Like, can I, like, make fun of the girl back?
Right. I mean, it's a double whammy because it's now your boss and it's a chick. If it was a guy, right, you could easily throw right back at him. But listen, she made her bed. I think you send it right back at her right away.
I'm gonna give her a couple more days. I'm gonna let her get comfortable. If she it's more like you have to be, like, innovative. Like, you can make the fat jokes, but if you're still making the same fat jokes in, like, 4 days, come on.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
What did she say exactly?
It was like, funny. She was like,
"Underling to keep you fed or keep your
feet." Yeah, we're hiring, like, a manager, a Barstool manager, and one of the responsibilities is to keep Big Cat fed. That was a funny joke, and then people were like, "That's more than one person, Erica. Like, that's not just one person's job." So it was like really funny.
She was like, keep the underlings happy and keep Big Cat fed.
But then this morning I woke up, she was on like Cheddar TV and someone said that she made a fat joke again. So I was like, okay.
That's two.
And like, if tomorrow we wake up and it's like another one, it's like, okay. Like, at some point a man's got to stand up for himself, right?
Right. No, absolutely, man. You can't, no preferential treatment here. She doesn't want it, you know? I think Erica is, she prepared as well as she could for like, this weird world that we live in. But once you get thrust into it, you get caught up in the Twitter, you want to make some jokes, you want to be a part of it, it's a whole new world. You gotta really be prepared for that.
Yeah, it's definitely not,
she's obviously handling it really well. I think it's been received pretty well, though, too, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, only the mouth-breathing idiots are like, it's the end of Barstool, by the common woman, for the common woman. I mean, anybody who's... And that's... I think even the regular idiots at Barstool think this is a good thing. It's like the real special sect of morons that have a problem with it. And the rest are like, this is a no-brainer.
I had a big problem with all the articles that were written the day of being like, we did it because of our history of misogyny. Like, that's the fucking most misogynistic thing. That's more misogynistic than anything we've ever said. Like, you're just discrediting everything that's good about this woman, all her attributes, all her achievements, and saying we just did it because she's a woman. That's fucking more misogynistic than anything we've said.
Not to mention, Kevin and I... Like we were part of like the interview process, so we interviewed all these CEO people. We probably went through 25 people. A lot of them just weren't good.
No, they
like,
weren't.
They just weren't right for the job. They weren't a cultural fit. Erica, we all met her independently, and like the rule was, you meet with the person, you don't say anything until everyone's met with her, and we all came to the same conclusion that she was great.
It's weird how those things work where. You, like, I just knew. Like, we sat down and started talking, and I was like, this chick is funny. She gets it. Like, her resume is diesel. Her resume is, like, too good for us. It was just like, this is an absolute no-brainer. And then, I mean, it is an added bonus. Let's call it spade a spade. It's a nice little, like, fuck you to feminists and whatnot, and we can kind of hang our hat on that. But it's not the sole reason. All right, let's get into these voicemails. They're brought to you by BetDSI.com. I was listening to the Portnoy show because I wanted to hear his guests. That's how that show usually goes. He said he would take his $10 free play and he would put it on Trump to win it. I don't know if I can really say that. Your thoughts on if you had to put down your money right now, Trump or Hillary?
Hillary.
Right? Hillary. I mean, I couldn't.
It's the Electoral College. I think Dave actually thinks that like if you get the most votes, you win.
Right. I don't think he understands.
Like, he has no idea that, like, some states actually count for more, and, like, he doesn't understand that concept.
But maybe you're a Trump supporter.
That is a bit of a fear that he just kind of, has... There are, what, like, five states that actually matter? Everyone else is just...
Pretty much.
In their ways. So, like, there's a bit of a fear that he just kind of fucking pulls a miracle out of his ass and wins 3 out of 5.
No, he's not going to... No. I don't know, man.
If you're a betting, if you want to throw some cash down,
people have been saying for a fucking long time that no, this is a joke.
Of course, it could happen. No, it's crazy not to say it happened, but like, if you're asking a betting man,
right?
I would not bet on.
That's kind of the difference. If you're really going to throw down your money, but I don't know. Like he said, maybe that's where you throw your $10 free play because it is still kind of a long shot. I feel like so go over to betdsi.com. Use the promo code Barstool10, it's Barstool10, and you'll get a $10 free play. You can bet on sports as well. It doesn't have to be the weird stuff, but they got the Olympics, they've got baseball, they've got the election, they've got reality TV show. Anything that you can place a wager on to make some cash, BetDSI has got you covered. So that's BetDSI.com, Barstool10 for your free play. Let's keep it rolling with some Trump talk.
What's up, gentlemen? This is Michael, longtime listener, first-time caller. I've noticed that at Barstool, you guys like to be out ahead of the curve, mostly recently with Pardon My Take, so I have a good one for you guys. So Donald Trump gets elected president upcoming November, and then he cheats on his wife with one of the intern secretaries, just like Bill Clinton did. What is his spin zone, and how does he make America love him again? Thanks.
All right, you guys are the... Well, I think everybody can kind of predict Donald Trump, but you guys have definitely been nailing his tweets and his spin zone. So let's say Trump finds himself in a Clinton situation, cheats with his, on his wife with an intern. What would Donnie's spin zone be? Big Cat, the king of spin zone, would begin with you.
Well, first of all,
would he even need spin zone is my question.
Yeah, he doesn't even need spin zone. Like, I honestly, if he's elected president, then there's a lot of people who, like, will think whatever Trump says, like, tells them to think. So if he just gets up there and he's just like, yeah, I, like, had this hot intern and I fucked her, people be like, that's insane. That's great. Love it.
Right.
I also think he could easily just say, I have an open relationship. And I'm pretty sure the wife has to care if the husband cheats, right? Like, for it to become, like, a big deal. I feel like Melania is not. I think she's in it. I don't think you marry Donald Trump with, like, being
for his fidelity.
I'm expecting a partner in this relationship, and, like, we're going to discuss all of our, you know, everything we do, and we're going to make decisions together, and it's going to be great communication. I don't think that's how the Trump household works. So I think that this one would probably get swept under the rug pretty quickly.
I don't even think the open relationship would be spin zone. I think that's probably just what the situation is. I'm sure Melania's been banging the pool boy for like a decade, and Donald's like free to do whatever he can do with his interns and his floozies. I think they would just be like, this is how every high-powered couple does it. Like, you're a loser if you don't. And they would make you feel bad. And that's how that's how Trump does it. Right?
I think if you list all the crazy shit Trump said in the last year, him coming out and telling America he shoved a cigar in an intern's asshole in the Oval Office, like we're boys over at the bar, like he's telling, it's like Saturday afternoon, and he's telling America about the girl he took home Friday night, that wouldn't crack the top 10 weirdest things he said. Really, I'd be like, yeah. They'd be, yeah, we get it. Makes sense. That a boy Don.
I could see him just being like, this is America. Freedom. I'm free to fuck whoever I want. Like, you're not a man. You're not an American if you don't have sex with people. And the crowd would be like, yeah, make America great again. Yeah. I mean, I think he should do this on purpose. I think it would be a good political move if he were to bang some other chicks. So, I mean, when you get to the point with Trump where he spins everything, when everything becomes spin zone, then nothing is spin zone. It's just reality. It's just how it goes.
This would be a badge of honor for him.
Right.
Yeah, I'm the Trump. The ladies want me. Like, that would be his thing.
That was good. That was very good.
Bro, we've talked about it before, but it's Dave Portnoy. The narcissist, when you're this big of a narcissist, you can make anything out to be like, I was right all along, and this, like, I'm the smartest person in the room, and blah, blah, blah. It's not that hard.
It's Dave Portnoy, and it all comes down to money, which segues perfectly to this.
Hey, KFC, this is Nick from Philadelphia. I've got a quick question for you. Now that Dave has had a taste of the good life, you know, the house in Nantucket, et cetera, what do you think would happen to him if he all of a sudden lost all his money? Would he go, like, Dan Aykroyd and Trading Places and kind of lose it? Would he go on a killing rampage like Michael Douglas and falling down? Or will he similarly pull Mr. Burns or somehow find a way to make it all back? I'm curious on your thoughts. Viva.
I don't like talking about Dave much on this show, but it did segue too perfectly. What happens if Dave Portnoy loses all his money? Because we've said it in the past couple weeks, the dude has lost track of everything, all of life, prior to the little bit of money he's gotten. So I don't think he would know how to go back to, like, quote-unquote normal life at all. Dan, I feel like...
There's no way he'd go back. He would have to pull a Sports by Brooks and just disappear. He wouldn't be able to stay on the internet. If he went, like, to zero and had to be a total guy, like, you know, degenerate guy who has to grind and take the subway and, you know, not have a huge house and all this stuff, he'd have to do a Sports by Brooks.
Johnny, do you think that Dave could do a Cersei walk of shame and, like, atone in front of the internet and get back to, like, in good graces if he went completely broke? Or do you think people would just, like, kick him while he's down forever?
I think people would kick him while he's down forever, and I'd probably throw the first kick or send the first kick. I'd probably start off that stomp party, and it would – I don't think – any. I would hate people. Like, you know how everyone always has, like, the sympathy tour and, like, America always comes around on someone? I would hope Dave's the one person they never did.
I can't imagine people coming around that.
Because he's so unapologetic and so I'm always right and all that. Like he would never have sympathy for anybody. So I would hope that no one would ever have sympathy for him.
I think there's very few people that America eventually doesn't forgive. I could see Dave being that guy.
he would not be able to Mr. Burns.
No.
Dave doesn't know how money works or anything like that. Dave got lucky and struck gold with, like, starting a website first. Like, he couldn't start a new website because you can't start new blogs anymore. They're just, like, they're enough of them, right? You can't start a new blog. He can't, like, invest money. He doesn't know how to do that. He would be screwed. There's no way he'd ever make his money back.
Seeing his Sports by Brooks, our friend Pauly Papps has his number. And we were over the Super Bowl. We were drunk at a bar, the two of us, at like 2 a.m. We tried to call that guy. He didn't pick up, but that guy's the biggest mystery of all time.
Paul, I was after Sports by Brooks. I wasn't really. It was like when I first started reading Barstool. It was like Barstool and Deadspin. Sports by Brooks had maybe already disappeared or just wasn't on the level yet, or on that level anymore. So I don't really know much. I know the picture. I know that he disappeared. I don't know much of the website itself.
Dan, are there conspiracy theories? Like, are there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what. Like, so for people who don't know, Sports by Brooks was probably like one of the top three biggest sports blogs in the mid 2000, like what 2005 to 10. I think
I started reading Barstool in 2006. So
yeah, he was right around then. And then all of a sudden, one day, he got a little bit weird towards the end. And then all of a sudden, one day, he just poof, gone. Not like, he's not dead. He's just gone. He doesn't update his blog anymore. He doesn't update his Twitter. No one has talked to him.
How badly I want to do that one day?
Yeah.
Like, just do the Goodwill Hunting. Like, you guys come on to GChat, and my dot is red, it's gray, I'm just gone. And nobody hears from me again.
But it's a wild story because it's not like it was some, you know, little blog that didn't make money. It was one of the biggest sports blogs. It would be similar to a Barstool level. I mean, we're bigger now probably than Sports by Brooks was at its height. But a couple of years ago, Barstool just stopped and never updated.
Something drastically wrong had to happen, right? Like he caught a murder case or something, right? Like
wild story. So I think Dave would have to do the same.
That's kind of what happened with what would Tyler Durden do. He'll still pop up occasionally, but he was just gone.
He still has a Twitter account. Yeah.
Yeah, that Twitter, the Bears Are Mean or whatever. Yeah. That he'll still like randomly send a tweet every once in a while. But that fucking website, I think I used to like that more than Barstool.
When
he was hot.
It's crazy to think about those things, like our commenters. I mean, the comment section is trash now, so I don't know like names anymore. But back in the day, you'd know names because they would be somewhat funny and they'd keep their. What if like one of those guys just died?
Well, we once had a KFC Radio intern that was like all about it. I think so. I don't know. He was all about it. He was like, "Give me more to do." My brother was like, "You can try this, try that," and he was like hungry and wanted to. And then he just went completely ghost. Like, no tweets, no emails, no responses, no nothing. And my brother's like, I think he's dead. Like, the only way this kid would just not respond to anything is if he was, like, kidnapped or abducted or just straight up dead.
And then we just never followed up.
It reminds me of Naomi Russell fights. That porn star who just, she got AIDS and just disappeared.
Well, that's like when you get AIDS, it's here. You got AIDS and had to stop doing porn.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we know the reason there. Maybe Sports by Brooks got AIDS. I don't know. But, I mean, that was the ultimate. Like, in her prime, hell of a performer, a noticeable lisp, so you really knew it was her, and she just had to hang him up early. It's like...
Do we know if Holly Madison's ever going to make a comeback?
That was the one that... She was – wait, was she
– No, Madison Ivy.
Oh. What happened to her? Didn't she – something like –
got hit by a car.
Right. I was going to say she suffered like a horrible accident.
We're now down like a real rabbit hole, but like when you think about it, you don't realize a porn star like matters in your life until they get hit by a car and just disappear.
Yep.
I'm honest. I was never much of a Madison Ivy guy, so I'm kind of indifferent on the situation. Okay. But Dan, I can see this affects you, so I'm going to pray for her.
John, I'm jealous of you because it's like when you hear someone hasn't watched Breaking Bad before and you're like, oh my God, you get to go back and watch every episode. You could go back right now and watch every Madison Ivy scene. I mean, you got a whole catalog to run with, dude. Trust me. Trust me on this.
I know her. I know she is.
Oh, you just wasn't. Yeah, she wasn't your cup of tea. But yeah, I mean, that will be the greatest comeback. That will be like Jordan, you know, dropping a double nickel in Madison Square Garden if she shows up one day. It's out of nowhere.
So Madison Ivy beat Jordan, and Naomi Russell's like magic. Like, nah, man, your career's over. HIV. Yeah. It's a wrap for you. You can't play anymore.
It's like Magic played in that one All-Star game or whatever. Remember? He made like a little comeback. Fat Magic.
Remember like Karl Malone was like, I don't want to touch you. I don't want to be near you. That was great. While we're talking about porn stars, this is a good question.
All right, so me and my boy were having a conversation. We were wondering, what do you think there are more of in the world, porn stars or murderers? And point number two, what do you think you're more likely to encounter just in like everyday life, a porn star or murderer?
More murderers or porn stars on the planet Earth?
Great question.
It's a great question. And
first of all, what qualifies as a porn star? Like,
and what qualifies a murderer?
Well, that one's killing.
Yeah, you have to kill a person, then you're a murderer, Dan.
But okay, there's a gray area there.
Well, like I wouldn't count a soldier as a murderer. Like, it's not just killing a person; it's killing an innocent civilian. Let's say that.
Yeah, okay, I mean, that's what murder is.
I think there's still a little bit of a gray area in there, but okay.
Can you explain? Wait, can you explain the gray area? Like manslaughter? All right, there's a gray area there, but that's about it.
I don't know. I feel like if there's a... To me, a murderer, you kind of have to be somewhat active. Like if you murdered someone 20 years ago, maybe you're a different person now.
So you think that's like you have committed murder before. You're not a murderer.
Not a murderer. You're not an active murderer.
All right, I'll give you the definition. If you've killed someone in cold blood at any point, at any time, you're a murderer.
Okay, I disagree. People can change.
I feel like that's a stain you can't get out. You wear that one for life. If you killed someone,
I guess it's kind of like porn. You're right.
Being a porn star or a murderer. Okay. I mean, those are very similar things.
Like, is porn star just being in one porn?
That's what my question
is. And like, can it be amateur?
Again, Mike.
I think it needs to be... No, let's say professional, like it's been distributed by a site or like a Vivid or something like that.
Or if you're an amateur, if you've put like more than three porns on the internet.
Because
you're an aspiring porn star at that point.
Right, like Heather Brooke and her husband. They were just a couple, but they put out so much porn, they're porn stars.
Right.
What do you think is more likely? Now that we've fucking broken down the parameters and the rules here for you guys, murderers.
More confusing than we thought it was going to be, wasn't it?
It is. We needed to flesh this out a little bit. There's a lot of dead people. Like, people get murdered a lot, man. But then again, when you always hear those stats about, like, there's more porn on the internet than, like, everything else on the internet combined.
Yeah, like, three quarters of the internet is porn. Yeah. Like,
there's, like, a gazillion terabytes. Like they put it in terms like that. They're like, there's 1 trillion terabytes here. I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like a ton of fucking porn.
See, but you also have to factor in, I guess, racial or country bias. Because, like, in my head, the Middle East, it's like 50-50 murders.
Murderers. No, and no porn stars. All murderers, no porn stars in the Middle East.
Like, the Western world, we're dominating. We're dominating in the porn game. I feel like the Middle East, because I feel like you could just run down the street and just kill someone. Like it's the Wild West or the Wild East. You shoot someone in cold blood outside the saloon. The sheriff comes over. He just takes your six shooter and then you go on your way.
To be honest, to speak to Dan's middle ground, like if you roll up in the Middle East and shoot someone in the streets, I don't even know if you get called a murderer. It's just like,
I don't know.
That's
what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're getting great with that. So That guy's a murderer by my standards. I'm counting that.
Western standards. Over the Middle East, I think they'd be like, he was having a bad commute, so he just, I don't know, whatever.
Right.
Final answer, porn stars.
More porn?
It's guys, too, remember.
Oh!
Two for every one scene, really. Yeah.
Damn it! Dan with the huge fucking Hail Mary at the end there. It's porn stars.
They not? Yeah, I mean, the guy, like, that's a porn star, right?
And
yeah.
And on the other side of the coin, like, chicks aren't murderers. Chicks rarely murder.
No.
Because they're too busy being porn stars.
Yeah. Maybe they'll kill, like, a husband or something like that, but they don't kill random people. That's not a thing they do.
They're not murderers. They're not consistently murdering. All right, final answer.
I've seen Criminal Mind. They're more about crimes of passion. They don't really murder. Because, you know, murder's got to be premeditated. A wife will stab you in the throat with a knife.
We all know about the mens rea. You got to have that. good question, though. Shout out to that guy. It's question of the day, probably. What else do we got here? Let's talk about dad life.
Oh, okay.
Dan in Chicago here. Got a question for you. A couple of years ago, my dad sort of had his midlife crisis and bought his midlife crisis car. It was a Tesla. Not a big deal, kind of a big deal. But anyway, over the past couple of years, I've kind of watched him transform into that asshole that's super particular and uptight about his car. Like, taking up two parking spaces, that kind of shit, just, you know, trying to wave in front of other people, like, oh, I got a Tesla, mine, you know, not that big of a deal. How do I tell my dad that he's straight up turning into an asshole?
Dude's dad is becoming an asshole, particularly with his car. I know Teslas are, like, new technology, but I didn't know they were supposed to be considered like hot shit. Like, if I saw you driving a Tesla, I wouldn't be like, oh shit, there's a baller over there. But his dad treats it that way to the point that he's parking in two spots. That is some shit right there. If you want to be one of those car dorks, we've talked about this before. Nobody here is a big car guy to the point that they're like shining up their tires and buffing out the scrapes and stuff. You want to do that though? You want to take pride in your car? Fine. The minute you start parking in two spots, you're a goddamn asshole. So what do you do when your dad goes through a midlife crisis and becomes an asshole?
I can speak to this very significantly because I'm in my garage and right beneath me is a 66 Mustang, which is his midlife crisis that he bought that. And he did the exact same thing, turned into like the asshole car guy. Like he'll go like drive it to car shows. He'll like go slow down the street and wave at people and fucking all that stuff. He doesn't do two spots. He does back into spots, which I fucking hate. If you back into a fucking parking spot, you are such an asshole. But I think he even does.
Wait, what is that about?
I don't know. Like, it's just that's so time consuming. Just pull in. Like,
you get right out.
You do the back end? You will like pull up
what
in front?
Talking about? Where? Like the grocery?
Everywhere.
Yeah, I'll back in. Yeah, I'll back in if I can. If I have room, I'll back in for sure.
I'll do a pull through.
Yes.
It also takes skill to back in, so I guess you guys are lazy.
I'm definitely
lazy, but it definitely takes...
Well, the only people who do that after rob banks. Like, you gotta get out of there in a hurry. It's much easier to just go, nah.
Yeah.
But... He'll also do shit where he'll be like, you go check out the Mustang, I put a new fucking stereo in it. I'm like, dude, you didn't put a fucking stereo in it. You brought it to the car shop and they did. Like, he like acts like he's a car guy.
Right.
No shit about cars.
He's faking it.
And I think the only answer is you make fun of him nonstop.
Do you? That's, you just call him out? You're just like, you're an asshole.
That's all you can do. You have to make fun of him. Find little things about the car to make fun of and just bring him down a peg. Same thing you do when your friend gets too cocky. Just bring him down a peg.
Chop him down. Dan.
Yeah. You don't hold your friends or your family up. You chop them down back to your level.
Right. Well, especially dad. I mean, I assume that you guys have the same family relationship that I do. Like, the dad always gets made fun of anyway.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you got to do. Yeah. Like, everyone's got to make fun of the dad.
One day... My dad's gonna snap and just like shoot everyone up, and it's gonna be like, well, it's because like there was 35 years of people giving me shit.
Yeah, stop fucking making fun of me. the best is when your mom like joins in and he's like, I thought we were a fucking team. Like, what the hell? but the answer, the making fun of is probably an easier answer than I was gonna go with. I was gonna go with just the Ferris Bueller, just like wreck his car and be like. You should love me more than the car.
Yo, here's the thing. As much as I can't imagine going through one of these midlife crises and doing this, everything that I've been told so far by those who came before me about being a father, getting married, all that shit, is so spot-on accurate. So, king of self-awareness over here, the thought that I'm going to be any different than, like, all these other dudes, I'm probably not. I can't ever picture myself doing this, but I think on some level, whether it's a car or, like, a fucking toupee, or you start traveling, or you start, like, banging a young... I don't know, something. You go through something where you become an asshole because you're just like, well, I don't care. Everything in life sucks right now, and all I want to do is, like, listen to my stereo in my car. So that's what I'm going to do, and everyone can shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah, and more than that, I think it just speaks to the inherent quality that, like, all men have wanting to just be cool. Oh, you know? Yeah. Guys just want to be cool. You just want to be seen. You want people to look at you like, that's a cool guy. So when you get older... you're obviously not cool. You got to capture it anyway. You can. Buying a cool car is pretty fucking easy way to do it.
But does it work? Or I mean, I feel like every time you see an old guy in a cool car, everyone says, like, midlife crisis.
He's got
a small dick. He's overcompensating.
I don't know. Some of the classic cars are cool. Like, you look at it, you're like, damn, that's cool.
So, like, Feidelberg's dad's is probably awesome. A Tesla?
Yeah.
Ain't doing it.
No.
That's not
doing it. No, that's a midlife crisis. Right. If you get a Ferrari, like, if you get, like, a yellow Ferrari... like a 2016 yellow Ferrari? No.
Right.
If you get a classic car, I definitely will look at you and say, yeah, that guy's cool.
It works because that's the car I took to the Grid Tour to get dropped off in
right.
the bus.
Everyone was mentioning it.
And Hank was like, holy shit, what a
right.
fucking awesome car this is.
Right.
So that's what I've driven before. So like I can attest that when you're driving it down the street, everyone looks.
Dude.
Like everyone's head turns.
It pains me to fucking say this, but Dave's Nantucket truck is fucking cool. Like, if I saw him driving in that, I'd be like, damn, that's cool.
Thank God it broke down. Thank God it doesn't work.
but it's true. A classic car definitely makes you a cool guy. So I understand Feidelberg's dad. I don't really understand the Tesla guy. I think, honestly, you have to, like, bump into it, scratch it, something, get a big fight going, and be like, fuck you, man. You don't care about our family. You only care about this goddamn car.
The Tesla is definitely I when he said midlife crisis bought a car, it would have taken me 100 guesses to get Tesla.
Tesla, yeah. That guy did not do his midlife crisis right.
Right.
If you're going through a midlife crisis and you don't have enough money to buy a car, but you want to look cool, Movement watches, coolest watches on the market, baby. You know the deal. Movement watches, they've got them in all sorts of different designs and colors. I'm rocking this leather strap one right now. I've also got the black-on-black metal one with the big face. They got all different types of styles, and watches start at just $95. So you want to look cool, but you don't have too much cash to spend? Start with a Movement watch. MVMTwatches.com/KFC. Yeah, MVMTwatches.com/KFC. And you'll get 15% off your entire order. They've got, you know, steel bands, quartz hand movements. They got it all. Top-notch watch stuff. So go to mvmtwatches.com/KFC. Let's talk about some crazy chicks.
Hey, guys. First time, long time here. Got a question for you guys. Had a party at my place last weekend. Catered in food. My buddy brings his new girlfriend that none of us know, and she brings her own Tupperwares to the party and starts bringing home basically all the food. Is this, like, she's a psychopath? Or is this, like, a way that our buddy's being a dick and having, just stealing all the food from us through his new girlfriend that none of us knows? Or is this just, like, a revolutionary your way to take home food from a party that...
Listen, I love me some good leftovers, but showing up to a party with your own Tupperware in preparation to pack up the food from the party and take it home is, like, the trashiest thing I've ever heard. If she's poor, fine. Like, if this is, like, the Great Depression and you need to eat food to survive, I'll let you do it. Otherwise,
if you're poor, you go steal that food from the supermarket. Fucking leave your friend's fucking food alone. You have to throw this girl a beating. That's the only thing you can possibly... You have to come across while she's filling up that Tupperware and put her through the fucking table. That's the only reasonable response to this.
This is insane. I might agree with you. Violence is maybe the answer here. Dan, what would you do if your buddy's girl was just like, okay, thanks for the party, pops open the Tupperware, starts throwing some wings in there, some fries in there. Thanks, I'll be on my way. You know what you got to do, John? Because you can't hit a girl. You have to beat the shit out of your friend for dating a chick like that.
You can hit a girl in this situation. There's like, Louis C.K. has that joke where he's like, there's no excuse to hit a woman. Like, what if you come home and your wife's drowning the kids in the tub? You can hit her. This is on that level. This is on that level where you can fucking hit this girl.
I don't know, man. I'd fucking love to have a chick like this. I would. You ever go to a party and then the next day you wake up and you're like, man, I wish I had another one of those cookies, or man, that dip was really good. I would never want to be, it'd be tough to be associated with it, but if you could have a girlfriend who basically at the end of every party, you walk out and then you just know that she'll be outside in 5 minutes, but first she's going to fucking clean up the place and take it for all it's worth, I think I'd be okay with that.
So you just don't want to witness it.
How much do your friend, like, you'd be fine with that extra cookie knowing your friends literally hate you? Like, I fucking hate you.
I would just pawn it off on her. I'd just be like, yeah, she's crazy.
Like, that's the rudest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Her grandparents went through the Great Depression. They, like, save everything. That works.
Yeah. Well,
that's a pretty good excuse.
All right.
I'd be like, well, it's not the fucking Great Depression anymore. Get over it. Fucking leave the phone.
What?
I'm just thinking about the leftovers when I wake up.
Right.
Let's
say somehow, John, this is socially acceptable. What's the one party food item you want your girl to pack up in the Tupperware?
I don't know. I don't like this question. I'm personally offended.
You are very upset right now.
Imagine just taking a bottle of liquor on your way out the door. Like, it's my fucking shit. Leave it alone. I invited you to the party. Leave my shit alone.
Yeah, but
don't take the lamp and the food on the way out, dude.
The food often will get thrown out and shit. You know?
No, it won't. I'll eat that food.
I know, it's my
You'll leftovers. Eat that food. That food
oh, yeah, I'll eat it too. I would be down for, like, the desserts. I always think that, like, I always, you know, the brownies or the cookies, just scoop some of those up.
Those are something I'm going to tell you to take anyway. That's a good host says, hey, grab an extra slice of cake on your way out the door, whatever. Leave me my fucking food for lunch tomorrow.
I would love it. I'd love it.
I'd love
grab some cookies on the way out the door, take a little extra dessert. That's fine.
The giant heroes.
Fucking, like, carve the turkey and take more of that.
I like the little slivers of the giant heroes. That would be, there's always like an end left over, like the nub.
That's what you need to steal from me.
Yeah.
A fucking Subway sandwich.
Yeah.
Go get yourself one tomorrow.
Well, if it's just a Subway sandwich to you, then why are you so upset that I'm stealing it from you?
Because it's mine.
My trash is mine.
It's just a chair to me, but don't walk out the goddamn door with it. Buy your own tomorrow.
I have not seen Feidelberg this fired up, maybe ever.
I really hate, like, rude party etiquette. That fucking pisses me off. And this is the most rude. If that didn't, you were at a party, and it wasn't your party, but you just saw someone across the way doing this, you'd be like, what a fucking piece of shit. Who raised you? What is wrong with you? Why do you think this is okay?
You know what? It's one thing to take leftovers, but to bring your own Tupperware. So this is preemptively like, I'm going to clean up all those leftovers. That is just next level crazy.
Yo, even fucking like, even a paper plate and you throw some tinfoil on it, that's even fine.
Right.
Like, take, you know, because people offer that kind of shit. But just showing up—that's the real thing. Like, showing up with your Tupperware is
Dan's in love.
It's like
thinking ahead. That's thinking ahead.
Dan is in love. Dan would propose on the spot.
That's a great move.
I wouldn't be friends with you anymore.
Okay, fine. But I'd be eating your food at least once.
Enjoy your brownie.
A couple more questions here, both related to nudes.
Hey guys, big time fan from out here in Chicago. So long story short, I got a debate for you guys that I would love to hear your opinions on. So long story short, me and my buddies had a group chat going, and my buddy downloaded Tinder. This is a couple of years back. It's been going on for a while, but he downloaded it before us. Started, you know, being a hardo and sending us a bunch of nudes that he'd get from girls. So we decided to have a competition. Who could get the most nudes from girls on Tinder? And so this went on, and needless to say, unbelievably absurd how easy it is to get nudes from chicks from Tinder. It's kind of disgusting that someone's daughter. But anyway, we had a few girls who would ask us for nudes in return for their nudes, and a few times a couple of us would think, well, should we take one for the team? So basically, I want to know your guys' thoughts on dudes sending nudes to girls. Me personally, if a girl asked me for nudes in exchange for hers, I said absolutely not, but I'd love to hear your guys' opinion on that.
Dudes, nudes. We've talked about this topic before. Fights, you look appalled, almost worse than the Tupperware girl.
Yeah, you're trying to get me hot today with these fucking voicemails. That was... you fucking talking about, you idiot? If a girl asks you to see a picture of your dick, fucking send it to her. Like, what are you talking about? What is it? What's the question? Oh, I say absolutely not. What? It's the fucking year 2016, man. The girl just showed you her breast. You fucking return the favor.
Well,
some girls don't, so you don't send it right away, but you, if she asks to see it, you fucking send it. Grow up.
Dan, what do you think of John's thoughts here?
Totally. I mean, I agree. You have to trade, right?
I think
the problem with nudes is when – I think what girls really don't like and the creepy shit is when dudes just send unsolicited nudes.
Yes.
Right. That's ridiculous. You don't do that.
Because let's be honest. The guy nude is not like, ooh, that's hot. It's probably more like this is a contract now that if
yes.
you fuck me over, I'm going to fuck you over.
Yes. It's right. The girl. It's a power move for the girl to be like, I was able to get you to take a picture of what is probably your below average dick and send
right.
it off to me. Whereas the chick,
right.
you're happy to see it. She's taking pride in it. She's like, I look good. I want to send this. But the dick pic is definitely, it's collateral is really what it is. It's collateral
yes.
for the relationship. But you got to send them. You're just not going
to
play the game. You're not going to get anything in return. You got to give a little bit. It can't just be all take, take, take. I would say that there has to be a proper ratio. I don't think you should be firing off dick pics as many as a chick's going to send. But you got to give and take. It takes two to tango.
I knew I was going to disagree with this kid as he was describing like the game where they were seeing who could get more nudes. I don't – nudes have gone to the level of like your friend's dreams. Like I don't give a fuck about your nudes. Like, I don't care what... Like, if some random girl I've never met is sending you nudes, I don't really give a shit.
Isn't
I don't want to...
Isn't that so weird, though?
I don't
like,
want
to...
What's that?
Isn't that so weird, the phenomenon behind it? Like, let's say it's not even... There's no head in the picture. It's just a body shot. If you know it was sent to you, it's so much better than if it was sent to me.
It's part... I think if we're going to break it down to a psychological level, it's like the power.
Yeah,
like,
you got it.
I got this sent to me.
Right.
This was for me. Like, if it's just a pair of tits that weren't sent to me, like, why are you showing that to me, dude? I couldn't care less.
Right. I can
that.
Google that. I can find them all over the place. But this one's mine.
Absolutely nothing for me. Nothing.
When you earned the nude, it's like you painted the picture. It's like I created this nude. Okay. Without me, this nude doesn't exist. All right. So that's why you feel that power.
That's a great way to put it. You created that, yeah.
And we'll wrap up today with one more nudes topic, which I think John's going to go fucking crazy over this one, maybe more than anything.
All right, I'm going to make this as quick as possible. I'm 28 years old. I've been with my girlfriend. Serious relationship, mom and dad. Great girl. The other day, I'm going through my emails, deleting, clearing out a whole bunch of trash. I finally get to the bottom. And I find some nudes that a girl sent me in 2007, girl used to fuck back in like freshman year of college. So this was before iPhones and smartphones and all that. So these were like highly coveted things to me. I forgot we're even there. So I looked at them, you know, some nostalgia going on, whatever. What I want to know is looking at these nudes of this girl that I used to have a relationship with, being the 28-year-old and her being 18 in the photos. Does that make me like a total pervert?
Are you a pervert to look at old nudes? No, that's the best part. Nostalgic nudes are the best kind of nudes, you loser. What are you talking about?
We did not keep it short, by the way.
Yeah, right. You could have just said, is it weird to look at old nudes? But there is something to be said for the way he painted the picture of like when you got to find them in your email because this chick had to like like plug in the USB and take them off her digital camera and upload them and send them. That's another one that you really earned. It's one thing when you can just snap it with your phone now. The best part is finding them, like, when you forgot about them. It's like when you reach in your pocket and you find a $20 bill from last winter. When you find the old nudes, it's like, oh, yes, yes!
I mean, thought he was going to ask if he should keep them, which I think is almost a better question, but... Yes.
Well, that was going to be my next point, was that, John, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with Clem, the Snoop level on chicks is just through the roof, and they will find them. You can hide them in a folder. You can put them on this laptop. You can put them here, put them there. Chicks will find your old nudes, and they will say, why do you still have these? And you will get in trouble. Is it worth it? That probably depends on the nudes. But you will get caught.
My advice is going to be no. Something taken on a digital camera with, like, the timestamp in the corner from a decade ago from a girl you literally forgot about until you just stumbled upon these. Like, that's not worth keeping. No fucking way.
That right there, what you described, belongs in a museum, John.
But that's...
That needs to be donated to the Smithsonian.
The reason why that's not worth keeping is your memory is probably, like, clearer than that. Like, the picture you have in your brain
is
a better quality than the picture you just found.
Absolutely.
You've taken that picture and, like, a story. You've created...
Right. Right.
Like, a story a decade old, like, there have been some pretty distinct changes to it.
Right.
I mean, you've made it better in a lot of different places. So that was probably, like, kind of a letdown to see that picture. Like, oh.
She wasn't that hot. It wasn't, yeah, that outfit wasn't as good as I remember. Yeah. Some things are better off left to the imagination. That might be one of them. But you will get caught with nudes.
It's when you have sex with someone, they stay that age. You stay that age forever. So, like, right. In this, when he was looking at this picture, they were both 18. They were both in Never Never Land. So he could be 50 if he chooses to keep these pictures. He could be 50, and this is still fine to look at because you're automatically transported back to being 18.
That is some philosophical shit right there. It's like Wooderson. Like, I keep getting older. They stay the same age.
Every sexual encounter is like a stop in time. And when you go back and remember it, that's like the best midlife crisis to ever have is – you just keep all those nudes, and whenever you're feeling old and uncool...
18 again.
Yeah, boom, boom. Look at me, I'm 26. Hot and young. I'd have to go younger for that. I'd have to go, like, 22, I think.
To get 26, hot again? Yeah. That's some poetry from Feidelberg as we wrap up 177. We'll catch you guys next week. Last few episodes of Skype, you know?
Yes, thank God.
In, like, five or six episodes, we'll be doing this... all together. So a new era for KFC Radio begins.
And then episodes will be like 35 minutes long because everything is so much faster when you don't have to like wait and talk over each other. It's the worst stuff.
All right.
Get ready.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.